At this point in the service, we'd like to hand over to our brother, Reverend David Stewart. I know we've been all looking forward to hear what he has to say from the Word of God, and I'd like to ask him now just to come and bring the Word that God has laid in his heart.
Well, thank you, Andrew, for leading tonight, and we appreciate your warm words of welcome. Glad to be here with you. We trust that the Lord will bless us as we gather around God's precious and holy word. I want to turn your attention to the book of Hosea this evening. Hosea and the chapter number 2. Hosea 2. It might seem to be a strange place to take up a reading, but we trust that the Lord will bless us as we come even around his word. Hosea and the chapter 2. We're going to commence at the opening verse. Say you unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhaman. Plead with your mother, plead. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them that hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. And she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. And I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, These are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense unto them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgot me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, thou shalt call me Ishai, and shall call me no more Belai. We'll end our reading at the end of the verse 16. Let's just unite in prayer. We'll engage in prayer before we bring the word. You pray that the Lord will speak to your heart, give you honesty of heart, that the Lord will challenge every life tonight, that we'll know a sense of the divine presence even among us. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for all that has taken part already within this meeting. We thank Thee for the singing of Thy praise, the testimony of saving grace within a life and keeping grace. We thank Thee, Father, that You not only save, but You keep. Father, we rejoice in this fact that, Father, having begun a good work in us, You will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We come now, Father, to the preaching of Thy word. We pray in Christ's name that Thou will come and anoint this preacher with help and with the power, with the anointing of the Spirit of God. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt minister to the hearts of those who have come to this meeting tonight, those that have logged on through sermon audio and the means by which thou hast given to us, and we pray that even tonight that thou wilt use thy word to challenge all of our hearts. We ask of thee that there might be honesty among us tonight. We pray for every life to be challenged, my heart to be challenged, and Lord, that you'll cause this wandering heart, as we sang in our opening hymn of praise, to be bound to thine. We pray, Father, that you'll check our wanderings and that you'll draw us back to thee. O God, we pray that thou wilt speak to those in this meeting who know not Christ as Savior, and those who are backslidden and cold in heart, and even as I, people, Lord, challenge our hearts. We pray, Father, for the help of God, the Holy Spirit. We pray that you'll infill us with power and with the Holy Ghost. We're fully aware, dear God, that we cannot do this in our own strength. We're fully aware, dear God, though we have preached, dear God, for, Lord, many a year, Lord, we're so dependent upon thee tonight. We're so dependent on the help of the Holy Spirit, if anything of eternal worth is to be done. And so we pray that he might come and minister to hearts and to lives. O God, as the word of God is preached, we thank thee for these means whereby, O God, thou hast ordained to save them that believe. We believe in no other way, dear God, no other way, dear God, to save the soul, but through the preaching and through the means of grace that thou hast granted unto thy church. And so we pray that you'll come, dear God, and vindicate this God-ordained way to the saving of the soul. Lord, that thou wilt magnify thine own dear Son in our midst tonight. Lord, shut us into God. Bind every wicked and foul and evil spirit that would come against, O God, the work of Christ. We pray, Father, that thou wilt come down, O God. We pray that thou wilt come down in power, making 1,000 hearts thine own. Lord, come, dear God, in this our day and generation, saying, revival, we pray. Give us meetings full of God, we ask of thee. Lord, we pray that we might be different, Lord, as a result of being in this preaching house tonight. Lord, do a wonderful work, we pray. Lord, move by thy Spirit. And we'll be careful to ascribe all praise and all honor and all glory to thy holy and precious name. We ask these petitions in that name, in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen and amen. I believe the expression "from disgrace to grace" best encapsulates the entire life story of Gomer, the sinful woman that we encounter in Hosea chapter 1. Her checkered background was defiled by sin. A woman of ill fame who had numerous children to various men. Gomer was a woman with a reputation that would make any decent woman to blush. She was the sort of woman that if she came into a church building, the self-righteous would avoid sitting beside, or at least they would slide up the pew a little. Yet the prophet Hosea is commanded by God in the chapter 1 and the verse 2 to go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. In obedience to God's command, Hosea marries Gomer, a woman who has plummeted to the extreme depths of sin. Yet Hosea comes and delivers her from such a wicked and sinful lifestyle. In a moment of time, she's lifted from a state of disgrace to a position of grace and honor at the side of her new husband. God, through this unusual marriage, was illustrating to the nation of Israel the unmerited grace of God that he had shown towards them in choosing them to be his people. But there's more than this in that story. Because in Gomer's story, we have clearly set before us the gospel of Christ and his glorious salvation. Her story is my story. Her story is the story of every sinner that is saved by the grace of God. For we, like Gomer, find ourselves in a place of shame and disgrace because of our sin. Sin that has been transferred to us from our first parents. Yet God in grace through Christ comes and lifts us from our sin and shame and draws us winningly to his side. Fortunately, Gomer's story does not end there. For in chapter 2, it reveals to us that she soon returns to her old lifestyle again, picturing for us the journey that the backslider takes when they depart from the one who loves them the most. We want to consider then some things about Gomer's departure and return to Hosea by considering from her life how God reclaims the backslider. How God reclaims the backslider. You know, it may be that there's someone here this evening and you once attended this church. Someone who once professed faith in Jesus Christ. One who was maybe involved in the ministries of this assembly. But alas, tonight you're far from God. And if truth be told, the only reason why you're here is because someone has invited you to come. God would want to speak to you tonight. Because God wants to bring you out of your state of disgrace. And He wants to bring you into a state of grace once again. I want us to notice, first of all, in relation to the backsliders reclaiming, I want us to see, firstly, the need for the reclaiming. The need for the reclaiming. You know, you would have thought that Gomer would have forsaken her sinful lifestyle once and for all after that she had been lifted from the state of disgrace where she once occupied. You would have thought that she would have abandoned that old lifestyle once and for all. And yet we find here in Hosea chapter 2 that Gomer, in a bout of unfaithfulness, is allured back to her old sinful way of life. In Hosea chapter 2 verse 5, we notice that Gomer did not slip accidentally or fall accidentally into this state of backsliding. No, Gomer makes a conscious choice to return to her life of disgrace. Notice the words there in the verse number 5. She said, "I will go after my lovers." It was a choice of the will. I will go after my lovers. In doing so, she quickly forgets the one who loved her unconditionally. The love that she once had for Hosea, it begins to wane and to fade. And soon that love is replaced by love for other things and for other ones. No wonder then she's justly charged by God in the verse number 13 of the chapter that she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. As a consequence of her wanderings, as a consequence of her departure, her backsliding from the one who loved her, Gomer needed to be reclaimed by her husband. Is this not a picture of you, the backslider, in this meeting house tonight? Is this not a portrait of you, the backslider, gathered in this youth mission tonight? Consider the love that Christ had for you, exhibited towards you at the first when He drew you first to His side. Like Gomer, you had nothing of merit on your account, only a life full of sin. And yet God, by His sovereign grace, and in a moment of time, Christ lifted you from a state of disgrace and shame, and He brought you into His family. But my question tonight is this: where are you tonight in relation to Christ? You've forgotten Him. And you've went after other lovers. Maybe you haven't went, as it were, to the extremity of sin where He found you at the first. But tonight the heart is cold. Religious exercises, those are performed really out of duty rather than devotion. Love for Christ tonight. Be honest, love for Christ tonight is at an all-time low in your life. And only you know how your backslidings commenced. Maybe it was through the gradual neglect of prayer, the reading of the Word, the attendance at the house of God. See, you can remember the night that you crawled into bed late and you failed to read the Word of God and you failed to kneel at the side of the bed. And that one occasion, that would lead to another night and another night until it reached the place that these means of grace were no longer performed and enjoyed as they once were. It was just going to be one Sunday evening meeting that you were going to miss. The friends, they were heading to the port, and sure, you thought it would be only one Sunday night, but that led to another Sunday night, and another Sunday night, and another Sunday night, until your place was missed in the house of God, and then the late Saturday nights took their toll. One Sunday morning service was missed, and another, until it came to the place that it's been now years since you've come to the house of God. Maybe other things, other people, stole your heart away from your first love. The career, their friends, that unequal yoke relationship, some sporting interest, the farm, the job, some organization, some flute band, some other interest, an interest in cars or motorbikes, whatever it is, stolen your heart away from God. Or maybe some tragedy, as it were, crashed into your family and you blame God for it all. Since that moment of time, you've wandered from the Savior, and here you are tonight. Either in this building or listening in. And you're justly charged, like the church in Ephesus was charged, you're justly charged with the crime. And I use the word crime intentionally to show you the gravity of the sin of backsliding. Tonight you're justly charged with the crime of leaving your first love. Thou hast left thy first love. What a shameful and what a sad position to be in tonight. And if that be your case, you need to be reclaimed. You need to be reclaimed. Your backslidings and your departure from God necessitates your need to be reclaimed. In light of the backslider's need to be reclaimed, we want to consider, secondly, the means by which the reclaiming is achieved. The means by which this reclaiming is achieved. God has various methods and means by which the backslider can be reclaimed from their shameful wanderings. I believe that they are alluded to in the verses 6 and 7. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall. She shall not find her paths, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. I believe that we could write over these verses the truth of Hebrews 12, verse 6, for whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Notice the first means by which God reclaims a sinner. He uses sharp afflictions. Sharp afflictions to reclaim the sinner. What does it say there? I will hedge up thy way with thorns. Thorns are one of the byproducts of the fall. As a result of man's sin in the Garden of Eden, God pronounced concerning the ground, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. It is the thorn that causes pain. It is the thorn that causes agitation and hurt. It's representative here in the book of Hosea as representing those times of difficulties and trials and afflictions and heartache and distress and trouble and suffering that God brings into the life of his backslidden child in order to reclaim them back to himself. I think about Manasseh, that young king. He was such a person who knew what it was to have his way hedged up with thorns. Here's a young man who cast aside the counsel of a godly mother and father. He cast aside the counsel and the warnings of numerous prophets whilst indulging in some of the most heinous sins imaginable. Yet God in mercy was going to draw this young rebel back onto himself. In 2 Chronicles 33, the verse 11 through to 13, it records to us that after numerous warnings by God, it tells us there, wherefore the Lord brought upon him the captains of the hosts of Assyria, and took Manasseh among the thorns
and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him and was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem unto his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. In his affliction, when God brought him through the thorns, young people, not until then did that young man seek after the God of his father and his mother. Maybe you're in this meeting house tonight and you're wondering, well, why is there difficulty after difficulty happening in my life? Why do I go from one trouble to the next? Why am I being afflicted? God is wanting to draw you back to himself in his mercy and in his grace. It took away, hedged up with thorns to bring Manasseh to himself. I ask myself this question concerning you, the backslider. What difficulty? What trial? What affliction, what trouble, what suffering will God have to introduce into your life to bring you to your senses? You see, the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. You see, it was affliction. It was affliction that brought the wanderer back to God. It was a famine in the life of the prodigal son. It was the death of a husband and two sons in the life of the prodigal daughter, Naomi, that God would use to bring them back to the place where they should have been with God. Can I warn you, if you continue on this road that you're presently on, yes, you're in God's house tonight, and we appreciate that, but your heart is wandering from God. If you continue on that road, I want to warn you, be prepared. Be prepared for the sharp affliction. Be prepared for your way to be hedged up with thorns as God and as you drift away from God. Sharp afflictions. The second means by which God reclaims the backslider is by restraining barricades. Restraining barricades. What does it say there? He says, I will make a wall. I will make a wall that she shall not find her paths. If the thorns of affliction fail to draw the wanderer home, God often spreads in the way of the backslider hindrances that endeavor to frustrate the backslider's departure from God. These hindrances here have been described as walls. They act as restraining barricades. They block, as it were, the road of the backslider, causing the backslider to stop, to reassess where they presently are. It was C.H. Spurgeon, the Victorian London preacher, who said, "The Lord of love, he places effectual stoppages in the roads of those whom he means to reclaim. If men break down hedges, his persevering love builds walls so that they may find it hard to persevere in sin." How this practically outworks in the life of one who strays may be as follows. God may cause your plans to crumble around you. Just ask young godly Jehoshaphat, who decided to join affinity with wicked Ahaz, the account of which we read in 2 Chronicles in the chapter 20. The plan was to merge their resources together and build some ships to go to Ophir in order to bring back some of its gold reserves. However, God disapproved of the plan. He scuppered them. He sent on to that king Jehoshaphat a faithful servant, Eliezer, who we read in the verse 37 of 2 Chronicles 20, who prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaz, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish." There's God stepping into the situation providentially, sovereignly. God was going to scupper the plans. And backslider, Almighty God is well able to scupper your plans. Those summer holidays that you've planned, those business plans, those educational plans, God may have to scupper them in order to bring you back. himself again. It can outwork itself in another way. Your relationships may fall apart. Your relationships may fall apart. Friendships may have to be severed. Relationships may have to end in order to invoke your return back to God. Do we not read in the account of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verse 16, that no man gave unto him? I ask myself the question, where were his friends now? It seems to be that God had providentially taken all of this young man's friends away from him. It seems to be that now here he is, a lonely young man. And it was not until he came to that place, whenever every relationship had been severed with his worldly friends. I don't know if he had a girl there in the far country. I'm not sure. But it seems to be that he's now all alone. And it tells us that only whenever that happened, that he came to himself. Only then. Ending of those relationships was the thing that triggered in the young prodigal's mind his relationship with his father back home. And it may be that God would have to sever that relationship, that God would have to break that friendship, so that you would then consider your relationship with your heavenly Father. The wall that God builds. I wonder, does it seem to be that every road you turn, it seems to be nothing else but blockade after blockade? Can I say to you that God in grace has built walls, and on those walls there is written this message: return unto me. Return unto me. I wonder, will you heed the message? Another means by which God uses to reclaim the backslider is by bitter disappointments. Verse 7, it goes on to say in that chapter in Hosea, in the verse number 7, it says, "And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but she shall not find them." In these words, I believe we view Gomer as she seeks after those things that she thought would bring her satisfaction and fulfillment. But her search ends in bitter disappointment. She shall not find them. It's as if the picture is of a little child out in an open space, been given a balloon. The balloon escapes out of the little child's hand, and there she comes running after the balloon, but every time she approaches so near, it seems to be that that gust of wind just takes it that little bit further. It's ever pursuing after that which she once prized, but she never can reclaim it. And this is the picture that is set before us. Here's a woman. She had experienced the love of Hosea, and now she's aimlessly searching for satisfaction in her former sins. And she never finds it. It's often the case of a backslider that they aimlessly search for their satisfaction in sins that they once involved themselves, but they are now just mirages. They're just delusions concocted by the devil. You see, the true backslider soon realizes. He soon realizes that the former pleasures in the world's amusements are but empty pleasures compared to the enjoyment they once enjoyed when walking with God. Maybe tonight you profess to be a backslider, but your life is free from bitter disappointments. Could I suggest to you, could I ask you, could it be that you were never saved? If your life is going swimmingly along, If you say that you're a backslider, you once professed faith in Christ, but really, tonight you have no interest in the things of God. You have no interest for the souls of the men and women that are dying and perishing without Jesus Christ. And if you're going on in your life without any bitter disappointments, could it be that you were never saved? The Word of God tells us that whom the Father loves, he chastens. Tonight it could be that you're living off some false profession, a prayer that was said, a hand that was raised, and yet no chastening from the hand of a loving Father. Maybe the reason why there's no chastening from the Father is because you're not in the family. Are you in the family? You need to make sure you're in the family. The fourth means God uses to reclaim the backslider is the recalling of memory. Note the closing words of the verse 7. Then. And only then. Only after the sharp afflictions. Only after the restraining barricades. Only after the bitter disappointments. It says, then she shall say, I will go and I will return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now. In her affliction, in her disappointment, she recalls to her mind what it was like back in the home of her first husband. She remembers the love of Hosea. She remembers the wealth that he had lavishly displayed and bestowed upon her. She recalls her former happiness, the security that she once enjoyed in that home, and all of those memories caused her to make this resolution, I will go and return to my first husband. It would do well for you to recall the former days when walking with God was a delight, when prayer was enjoyable, when the Word of God preached thrilled your soul, when you had a purpose for your existence here on earth. And surely after considering all of those things, in considering what it was like whenever you walked with God, surely after considering all of those things, you would have to come to the same conclusion as Gomer did. Then was it better with me than now? Then was it better with me than now? Oh, that your cry would be like that of Job's, who said, oh, that I were as in months past. Having considered the need and the means of which the backslider and by which the backslider is reclaimed, I want you to see finally the one who reclaims the backslider. For Gomer, it was her first husband, Hosea. It was her first husband that reclaimed her. In Hosea chapter 3, we read in verse number 1, then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who looked to other gods, and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and half a homer of barley. Silver. It speaks to us of redemption. A redemptive price was paid in order to bring Gomer back to her first husband. Hosea reclaimed Gomer. And for the backslider, it is our heavenly Hosea that reclaims us from our wanderings from God. You see, young people, it takes God to step into our history in order to rescue us from our spiritual suicide that is backsliding. Because that's what backsliding is, it's spiritual suicide. It's very interesting to note that the name Hosea, it means deliverer.
The root word of that word, deliverer, it comes from a root word which means salvation. And it is from that root word that we get the Hebrew name Joshua. And Joshua is the Old Testament equivalent for the New Testament name Jesus. And so we could literally say, Jesus reclaimed Gomer. Jesus reclaimed Gomer. In the person of Hosea, we see a deliverer. We see a Savior reclaiming his wife from her wanderings. And it pictures for us the Lord Jesus Christ and how he comes and reclaims us from our backslidings. You know, that should cheer your heart tonight, to know that Jesus Christ is seeking you. In your wanderings, the great shepherd of the sheep has gone to tremendous lengths in order to draw you back onto himself. Your Ishai. That's what we read in the verse 16. That thou shalt call me Ishai. That word literally means my husband. Your Ishai, your husband, is the one who wants to reclaim you tonight. You may be asking, well, what am I to do? I know that I've drifted from God. I'm aware that I'm not in the place where I once was with God, but what on earth am I to do? Well, you'll have to go to the final chapter of this book for the answer to that question. Turn to Hosea chapter 14, and we find the answer. See, God, as it were, he illustrates this backsliding. He uses Hosea as an object lesson with this wife, Gomer. They marry, she then goes away, he brings her back again, and this imagery is before our minds, but it's not until the final chapter that God brings it all together and shows us the application to the nation of Israel. And there we find in the verse number 1, the Lord says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. The first step the backslider, the sinner, must take is that they must own their sin as their own sin. In other words, they must take ownership of their sin. It's the same for the sinner. Not just the backslider, it's the same for someone maybe in this meeting who is unsaved. This is the road that you'll have to take. The first step is that you take ownership of your sin. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. It's your sin. It's not your friends, it's not your family's fault. It's your sin, thine iniquity. You must take ownership of your sin. See, we must not blame anyone else for our departure from God. No, but like the prodigal, you must say, I have sinned. That's the first step. The second step that you must take, having owned your sin, you must then take the step of confession of sin. What does it say there in the words of the verse 2? Take with you words. Take with you words. Confession of sin. What words are we to take? Well, verse 2, it actually furnishes us with what we're to confess. What are we to say to God? What does this confession, what does it entail? As I come to Christ and as I turn from my sin, whether I be a backslider or whether I be a sinner who's never been saved in my life, what is this confession to entail? Oh, the Lord says, here it is. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. A full and a frank confession of our sin.
take away all iniquity. The final step is alluded to in the words of the verse number 2 again. Take with you words and turn. Turn to the Lord. Brings to my mind the thought of repentance. Repentance. Turn to the Lord thy God. And so those are the steps. Ownership of your sin. Confession of your sin. Repentance from your sin. And what is God's response to such an individual that takes such a road? Well, we find it in the verse number 4. I will heal their backsliding. And I will love them freely. That word freely just means without a cause. Without anything in them. God says, I'll love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. That means that for the backslider, in their backsliding, God's anger is toward them. If God says here that his anger is turned away from him, that must mean that while a backslider is in their backsliding, it must mean that God's anger is toward them. He'll love us freely. I think of Gomer. I think of the day she wasted. I think of the scars that she received. I think of the afflictions that she went through. I think of the disappointments she endured because she decided of her own will and volition to leave her husband. If only she had stayed within the home of her Hosea, she would have saved herself a lot of heartache. But then you see the backslider is filled with her own ways. And she thought that it would be better away from Hosea. But God brought her full circle. And she made this confession. It was better. It was better with him, with Hosea, than it is now. Now, where are you going to go to? Is tonight going to be the night that this message stops you and you're wandering from God? I pray that it is. Because like Gomer, you may have to be bitterly disappointed. God may have to bring sharp afflictions into your life. God may have to use means and methods that may even surprise you to draw you back to himself. And so tonight, the message is, turn around. Turn around. Don't make the same mistakes as Gomer made. Return to Christ, your first husband. And return this very moment. My question to you then tonight is, will you return? I asked again, will you return? God awaits your response. I pray that you will. And that tonight will be the starting point of a life lived for God and for his eternal glory. May God bring you to Christ. Let's pray. We thank you for your attention, young people. Can I say that we'll be here to help you? If you would like to speak to us, make that known to us. The Lord gave us this message.
When I was contacted, this was in my mind. And I believe that it's for someone. And I know that this is a gospel mission, but maybe you've wondered, well, tonight it's time to come home. Your husband wants you home.